Certainly is a very special day today, a day when God's people receive the Holy Spirit to help us to understand His Word, and that is a tremendous blessing. And this day should be the happiest day of the year, along with all of God's high days, holy days, the happiest times. We should be so excited and so turned on to hear God's Word and be here in His presence on this special day. I will emphasize happiness a little bit, and I'm going to give you just a little bit of a definition of happiness. Happiness is knowing why you're doing what you are doing while you are doing it. And we're here today keeping a high day that is extremely important to us in God's church. A day when we receive His Spirit so we can look in this book, this Bible, and understand His words. And we need to realize that giving is a personal offering should bring happiness not only to God, but to ourselves also. We are in His presence, and He's excited about seeing us here. And we need to have the right attitude and be really excited about this day ourselves. So we're going to look at a few scriptures here to move through them as rapidly as we can. But turn to Leviticus 23. I'm sure you're all familiar with this area, but we'll start there. Leviticus 23, and I'll pick it up at verse 9. And I want you to really pay attention to what verse 9 says. And the Lord spoke unto Moses. So we see who it's coming from. It's coming from the God beings. And they spoke to Moses. Said, speak to the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits. So we begin to see, you know, that we are first fruits, and we're given this special gift of understanding God's Word and His instructions here, how we are supposed to respond to Him. First fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Eternal to be accepted for you. That's for each of us, and we need to realize that. And it's to be done on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and you shall offer, now we get into, you know, some monetary terminology, that day when you wave the sheaf, a he lamb without blessing. So you see, again, it's an animal that's worth something, and it was supposed to be given, and we need to, you know, keep this in mind as we give our offering of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Eternal. And the meat, and really that should be meal offering because there's not any meat really mentioned here. And the meal offering thereof shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil, an offering made by fire unto the Eternal for a sweet savior, a pleasant smell, something that just makes God extremely happy to see our attitudes and our approach to His high day, His holy day, this day of Pentecost. What a tremendous blessing it is to be here in His presence. For this sweet savior, and the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part and a hen. Okay, now let's drop to verse 15. And you shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths, you know, outlined very plainly. They shall be complete, these 7 Sabbaths. And then even unto the morrow after that 7th Sabbath, you shall number 50. So the next day after the 7th Sabbath is Sunday, and that's why we are here today, to honor God with this great holy day. And you shall offer a new meal offering unto the Eternal. Now let's go back to Romans 16, and I just want to point one little verse out here for a special blessing for each of us to realize how God wants us to approach Him and with our attitudes to be right. Romans 16, let's read verse 5. We'll see, like in verse 3, he was told, Paul was telling the people to greet Priscilla and Aquila, and then, you know, they were great helpers in the work. And then likewise down here in verse 5, it says, likewise, greet the church that is in their home. And we are here in Minnesota meeting in the home of the Towers. And we need to understand that it's God's church no matter where we're at. Our hearts need to be into it. We're with God's people, even though we are few in numbers. We're all in the same boat, and we are all striving to please God. But then it says, this next verse, I want you to really pay attention, or the next statement. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus. Now put your own name there, because as God how looks at you, He wants to have honors given to each of us, each of you sitting out there, each of you, no matter where you're at in the world, God looks at you as a well-beloved individual, very precious to Him. And then it continues on, it says, who is the first fruits? And that's how He looks at us too. We are first fruits. We're there to, you know, be with Jesus Christ, the very first fruit. And that is an awesome, awesome reward. Now go back in Romans to the 8th chapter. Romans 8, and let's just read verse 23. Romans 8 and verse 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Again, you know, depicting this day, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the sonship, waiting for that sonship, the redemption of our body. Now, that's our goal. We want to be a member in the God family, and we should be so happy about that information and so excited that we just don't know hardly how to contain ourselves. Now, let's go to Galatians 6. Galatians 6 and read verses 7 through 9. In Galatians 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So again, kind of indication, you know, of this day. And we'll make a comment a little later on another scripture about that. Verse 8 says, for he that sows to his flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption. But he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's our goal, brethren, is to be a member of the God family. And we need to be so excited about these words. Verse 9, it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. And unfortunately, a lot of God's people have fainted. They're not turned on like they ought to be. But we're here in His presence learning what this day is all about. And it's a happy time, it's an excited time, and it's a time that we really need to appreciate and be very thankful for. I'd like to go back to Proverbs, because it shows us a little bit of the mind that we need to develop. And maybe this is a little bit different than what you expect on a holy day, but I think it gives us some good basics here that we need to follow. The sixth proverb. And we'll begin reading in verse 16. He says, this is the word of God, these things does the Lord hate. Matter of fact, there's even seven, as it continues on in the same verse, an abomination unto Him. Now, the reason I point this out, we have to look at things as God looks at things. And make sure that we are not guilty of any of these areas in our lives. So these seven things He does not like, or as a matter of fact, He says He hates. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that sows discord among the brethren. So we have to make sure that we're not allowing any of these things to be a part of our lives. It's it's an effort. We have to really work at it. It doesn't just happen easily. But we are reminded here, things that God doesn't like, and our minds should not like them either. And we have to really make sure that we're paying attention to that. As I mentioned earlier, I'm going to explain this a little further. You don't have to turn to this scripture. I will give the scripture to you, but we all know it because we hear it in most every offertory message. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, where it tells us, and I paraphrase, if you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. Example, you could go out and have this big row in your garden, and you put three radish seeds in, and you think, boy, I'm going to pick just bundles of radishes. Well, I'll tell you, you probably will get three at the very best. You might only get two, because one will probably just go to tops. And so you need to realize that if you're going to be having a productive row of radishes, you need to, sow with effort and put a lot of seeds in. And don't do it sparingly. And then we're also in the middle verse there of that particular section, 6 through 8, verse 7 says, don't give grudgingly. And there it brings us back to be happy. You know, we should be able to, as the Feast of Tabernacles ends, start putting a few dollars away for every one of the holy days out of every paycheck. And then by the time we come to the spring holy days, where you give some of that, then you ought to put more emphasis on what's coming up for the fall holy days and put a little more. So it shouldn't be a surprise to you when it comes to offering time. We know it's coming. God has made that very clear to us, and it's happy for him to receive, and it's happy for us to give. So let's really think about that. Okay, we're getting close again. Let's turn to Isaiah 55 and verse 8. I think this is a important scripture here. The 55th chapter of Isaiah. I can get there quick enough here. Isaiah 55, let's begin reading in verse 8. It says, then shall the light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. See what God wants for us? He wants us to be joyful, happy, healthy. And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Eternal shall be your reward. Now drop down to verse 11. And the Lord shall guide you continually, and satisfy your soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and you shall be like a watered garden. Very productive, very fruitful, bountiful, happy, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Verse 12, and they shall build the old waste places, and you shall rise up foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the reaper of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Eternal, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then shall you delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed you with a heritage of Jacob. See the promises that we are given? It's unreal. For the mouth of the Eternal has spoken it. He shows his concern for us, and we need to really be thankful for that. Okay, the last scripture, go to Proverbs 3. The third proverb. And I want to read verses 3 through 15. Or, excuse me, 13 through 15, not 3. Proverbs 3, 13 through 15. Picking up in verse 13. Happy. You see how he begins this? Happy is that man. Brethren, these are happy times. We're in the presence of God on one of his high days, probably one of the most important ones, because he opened our minds by giving us that gift of the Holy Spirit. So we can look at this book and we can glean from it truth and understanding and precious knowledge. So happy is the man that finds wisdom. Now, emphasizing, of course, wisdom, but you need to be happy, and the only way you find wisdom is using God's Spirit and getting in this book. And the man that gets understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of fine gold. So again, you see this monetary figure brought in here, but being obedient to God and being happy with his word and just having wisdom and understanding what you glean from his word, that's what it's all about. That's all we can do as human beings, is just really do our very best to please God in every way. Verse 15, the final verse, she is more precious than rubies. Again, another monetary term here. And all the things you tense desire are not to be compared to her. So, brethren, this day is extremely important. This offering is also very important. And have a happy heart as you give it. So we will be taking up an offering. Before that, we are going to have special music. And those of you that would like to follow along in the hymnal, it's page 100, in High on Zion's Holy Hill, and it'll be sung by Wanda and Jacob Tower and Jonathan Rochelle Gardner.